الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. Quite frankly, this khutbah was much needed. It's a reminder for everyone who is married, and for those who are not married, it's a good lesson to what you need to have as qualities when you do get married. And inshallah, all of you will get married soon. The Shaykh, may Allah preserve him, began his lecture, or his khutbah, excuse me, by saying that among the matters which are agreed upon among all societies is that of being grateful. There's a number of ways where we could translate shukr. It could be thankfulness, gratefulness, gratitude, appreciation, and other terms. All of them alluding to the same meaning. Yes, sir.
Can I come here?
My father passed away last Saturday. So can you please arrange a Fatiha for him?
Okay, we'll talk later. There's no such thing as Fatiha.
Okay, whatever the prayer is.
We'll talk later, inshallah.
It's okay. It's not a big deal. Which is basically being thankful, appreciation. And whoever has done a favor to you, you're expected to thank them accordingly. And if someone continuously does favors for you, then they have more of a right to be thanked. And this is something that all human societies agree concerning. And this is an indication that someone's, you know, natural disposition is sound. If someone doesn't show gratitude, there's a deficiency in their character. Allah Azza wa Jal had mentioned in the Quran that He is pleased with us being thankful. وَإِن تَشْكُرُوا يَرْضَهُ لَكُمْ. And if you are grateful, then He is pleased with that. He is pleased with us being grateful. And in fact, when Allah wanted to praise the best of His creation, the prophets and the messengers, He said concerning Nuh, إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Verily, he was a grateful servant. And he said about Ibrahim عليه الصلاة والسلام, شَاكِرًا لِأَنْعُمِهِ. He was grateful to Allah's favors upon him. Allah chose him and He guided him to a straight path. And we all know the famous statement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein he said, after praying all night and his feet swelling, and Aisha radiallahu anha mentioning to him, why are you putting all this effort after Allah had forgiven your sins? Or as we believe in Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the Prophet ﷺ did not commit any sins. What it means, as the ulama say, is decision making wherein a better decision could have been made, but not a sin as one of us would sin. He said, shall I not be a grateful servant to Allah? Should I not be grateful to Allah? He wanted to compete with Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam and be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Shaykh went on to say, there's someone who deserves an abundance of gratefulness and gratitude, and someone who deserves a lot of appreciation, and someone who hardly ever receives that right of theirs. And if we do not get used to showing this thankfulness to this individual, then this is an indication of a deficiency in our character. And we often show thankfulness to, you know, strangers. You know, someone, you know, for example, you have a flat tire and someone may pull over and help you, you know, fix your tire or something along these lines, and you say, you know, shukran and jazakallahu khair, and you may say a number of things. And even though they are strangers, but who's the one who doesn't receive that? The Shaykh said, we want to thank a woman who has endured with you throughout your life during the times of ease and the times of difficulty. One who has the greatest favor in terms of upbringing your children and providing them with the correct and sound atmosphere for them to be brought up Islamically. It is the one that ensures our homes are clean and our clothes are clean and our food is delicious. And the one who ensures that our children act right. That and more than that is what they have produced over the passage of years and days. I think you know who I am speaking about. I'm speaking about our wives, all men. Our wives. Again, if you're married. If you're not married, I'm sorry. Okay? Inshallah, next time. The Shaykh said, do we recognize this great bounty, this great favor that the wife provides for ourselves and our children? Does she get what she deserves in return for the extreme effort that she puts every single day? Have we ever said to her a statement of appreciation that is sincere? Something that is from the bottom of our hearts for all the suffering she has to go through over the years. He said, let me turn your sight and your heart and your intellect to the rights of your wives. And this is only scratching the surface. First, Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, and among His signs is that He created from yourselves azwajan litaskunu ilayha. Wives, spouses. Now, the word litaskunu is a very interesting word, because second, we mentioned, means accommodation, a place where you relax. And sakina is tranquility. And Allah mentioned that He sent the sakina upon the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba during the times of jihad. So sakina, feeling relaxed, feeling tranquility, feeling comfortable. And Allah said that these women, these wives of ours, are, Allah created us in such a way where we find in them like an accommodation, and we find in them this satisfaction and this tranquility. Amazing choice of words. This is the Quran and the miraculous nature of the wordings of the Quran. And Allah placed between you mawaddatan, compassion, wa rahma, and mercy. Verily, in that are signs for people who reflect. Not everyone. If you don't like to think, then we will not see these signs. If we are among those who think and reflect, then we will see the reality of the statements of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Furthermore, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, الدنيا متاع. This worldly life is entertainment. It's some temporary pleasure. And the best of that, the best of entertainment in this dunya is not a beautiful wife, a rich wife, a wife of, you know, of you know, honorable lineage. No, imra'atun saliha, a righteous wife. The best form of entertainment in this dunya is a righteous wife. If you have one, then you know why. Then you know why. It's clear. And this is from the concision. Concision comes. Some brother told me not to use complicated English words, and I don't try to use complicated English words, but these are the words that are particular to the translation, and I can't think of something better. Concision is from concise. When you say many things in small words, many meanings in small words. And this is what Jawami' al-Kalim, you probably heard this as a description of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would say one sentence that would have, you know, the ulama may write books on one sentence. This is called concision in speech. So he said in, you know, very small words, الدنيا متاع, this worldly life is entertainment. And you could think about a million things why this is a fact, just with these two words. And the best of that is a righteous woman. So the Prophet ﷺ told us the great bounty. You know, he specified from all the entertainment of the dunya, the righteous woman is the best, is the best. And this is trying to teach us, so we will recognize this reality and we will show appreciation to our wives. He said something that is very factual. Many of us men don't know the detailed affairs of their children. Maybe you will ask someone, which grade, you know, is your son in? And he will say, maybe the fourth grade. I'm not sure. I think he was the third grade. He may think about it, you know, for some time. Maybe he'll call his wife. You know, they call it the Wizara al-Dakhiliya, the Interior Ministry. Say, what year is our son? Okay, yes, he's in fourth grade. But you ask a woman, what grade is your son in? And there's an automatic response. You know, it doesn't take much, you know, investigation, as opposed to us men. Why? Because they are involved in the detailed affair of the children, unlike the men who are aside. So that's one quality. And the Shaykh said, I'm not claiming that women are angels that are free from error. He said, but I'm basing my statements on the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal in the Quran, where Allah says, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Mu'ashara is like accompanying someone, being like close buddies and friends. So live with them بالمعروف in an honorable manner, in a way that is good and acceptable for the society. But if you hate something in them, perhaps you will hate something and Allah will place therein an abundance of good. Amazing. So even though you may hate some qualities in your wives, in that which you hate, Allah may make a tremendous goodness come out. How? You have to wait and see. No one is perfect. We're not perfect. The disease which we men suffer from, may Allah forgive us, is that we know that we're not doing our job towards our wives, but we don't see our shortcomings, we only see their shortcomings. You see, and that kind of makes it a one-sided view. That's not fair. Because if we were to use the same criteria on us, then maybe we're worse. Maybe we're way worse than they are. So this needs to, you know, we need to stop this. Really, we need to stop this. So we need to then, Allah says, you may hate something and Allah will place therein an abundance of good. So the Shaykh said, do not be like someone who only sees darkness, even though there's light and illumination. And do not be like someone who's always looking for faults and he does not see any goodness. He said, this meaning has been reinforced in clarity by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wherein he said, a believing man should never hate a believing woman, meaning a husband should never hate his wife. Perhaps he will hate a character in her, but he will find someone else, another character which is pleasing to him. So, you know, she may not be the greatest cook, maybe food tastes burnt all the time, too salty, or it looks like, you know, it was just made while she was asleep. But that's fine. She may do other things that are good. She may be good with the children. She may, you know, be keen on them doing their homework and preparing them for school, whatever. So you're not going to find a perfect woman that does everything correctly. So if we find something that we don't like, ma'alish, we don't pick on it and make it a big deal. We disregard that. We look for other qualities which she has. And the Shaykh tried to elaborate that there are always more good qualities than bad ones. If you really look, you will find that the bad things are little and the good things are abundant. Tayyib. Furthermore, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best of you are those who are best to their wives. And I am the best to my wives. The best of you are those who are best to their wives. And he, alayhi salallahu alayhi wa sallam, being the example to be followed, clearly stated that he is the best to his wives. And he's not boasting. Rather, he's speaking about facts which we should find an example. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Verily, you have in the Messenger of Allah the best example to be followed. So he's saying this so we will recognize it and we can try to be best to our wives. So this was the Prophet ﷺ. His wives, for your information, used to become jealous of one another. They used to become angry. And sometimes they would even raise their voices. Right? In dissatisfaction. They would make some errors at times as well. However, the goodness and the excellence of the Prophet ﷺ was able to accommodate all of that. He was able to manage all of that. With all of these qualities which they may have had, he was able to manage all of them by disregarding and ignoring the errors and focusing on the good qualities. So you'll find him that he will return evil with the best character, with the best response, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Consequently, this made the house, the homes of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best homes, full of love, compassion, and tranquility. Furthermore, he alayhi salatu wasalam used to say, istawsu bin nisa'i khayra. And he said that the seen and the ta are additional. Now this is all linguistic. The objective is, he's advising us, meaning you have good behavior concerning the woman, and also tell people to do so by saying istawsu, meaning you are the obligation is applicable to you, then you are expected to convey this to others as well, meaning you be kind to your wives and then tell other people to be kind to their wives. This is all included in the term istawsu, which was used by him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is more than just being good. As if he's saying that treat them with honor and mention that to others. He said, "O noble husband, fear Allah concerning your wife and do not burden her with that which she cannot handle." Sometimes we do so. "And help her if there's some difficulty. Have mercy on her if she's tired, and treat her if she is ill. And take into consideration the difficulty of pregnancy and the after pregnancy, after delivery, and nursing for the children. Be extremely thankful to her and treat her with goodness and righteousness. And know that that degree which Allah gave you over them, الرجال قوامون على النساء, that degree which Allah gave for the men over the women, is not one of dictatorship, is not one of belittlement and taking advantage of her. Rather, this is the one where you are supposed to preserve her honor and teach her and correct her and help her fulfill Allah's rights. And do not make your main objective looking for mistakes, and do not have evil assumptions if there is no need to do so." Some men always think that the women are cheating on them, and they have absolutely no basis for this assumption. It's just the shaitan whispering nonsense to them. We need to leave that alone. Unless you have some evidence, something that is clear, that indicates something wrong, then you can get involved into your deductive style. Until such time, we don't assume that. And a Muslim should assume the best about regular Muslims, let alone one's wife. But don't reach to the extent where you have no jealousy, which is the other extreme. Either someone is too extreme in protecting his wife, or another one who could care less. His wife can go out wearing absolutely nothing but a skimpy jilbab, and he will have no problem with that. She goes out of the house, comes back, he doesn't ask her where you went, where were you. Yes. Can
I wanted to ask that there is one hadith.
Ma'alish Habib, can we do it after the khutbah, inshallah?
I'm going there.
Okay, you're going? Tafadhal, ma'alish. Maybe we'll learn something.
That they said that if the wife died, she will go to Jannah if the husband is something like
this. Yes, actually the hadith is coming in the khutbah. Yes, if a woman dies while her husband is pleased with her, she'll go to Jannah, inshallah, if she's a Muslim. Barakallah feek. Take it easy. Tayyib, today was a special day, mashallah. Two in a row. Yeah, that's what happens. I lose track. Ma'alish. Yeah, so we don't want to go to extremes. Extreme jealousy or no jealousy. We remain within the boundaries of reason. Then the Shaykh went on to say, do not reprimand a lot, because it creates enmity, hatred. But be a noble, generous person. And if you are noble, then you will be in charge. And there's no goodness in excessiveness. And there's never any excessiveness in goodness. This is very eloquent. There's no goodness in extremism or excessiveness. And then there's no excessiveness in being good. The more good you are, alhamdulillah, you can never say this is too much good. The more good, the better. And treat them with honor, feed them, and give them clothing from wherever you find clothing. Tayyib. Then he went on to say, "O believing brothers, the thing which we find clear in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that he used to be keen on expressing his love to his wives and showing appreciation among his sahaba. Today you can almost, today if someone mentioned the brother's wife's name, it's a big no-no. It's a violation. Even though back then they would say Aisha radiallahu anha, Khadija radiallahu anha, Ummu Salama, they mention the woman's name. But culturally now, it's not acceptable. So if somebody doesn't like it, you don't do it. You say, "Wallah, the Sahaba did it." You don't cause more problems by trying to implement something which may not be applicable today. You avoid that. However, back then this was the norm. Furthermore, the Prophet ﷺ used to express that he loved his wives. He said to the Sahaba, "Inni," concerning Khadija, "Inni qad ruziktu hubbaha." Allah has given me this provision, and that provision is loving Khadija. He loved her radiallahu anha warda, and he said this to the Sahaba. When was the last time a brother said to his friends, "I love my wife"? If he does, like, come on, look at this brother, you're trying to be romantic, get out of here. Nobody wants to hear it today, right? It's like they call it lame or goofy. You can't say that you love your wife, but you know, this is a defect in our society. This is not the case back at the time of the Sahaba. And of course we have another narration, I believe it's Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, who came to the Prophet ﷺ and told him, who's the most beloved of people to you? Hoping that he will say you, because he used to smile to him all the time. He told him, Aisha. Aisha. So the Sahabi was like, Aisha, tayyib. Among the men, you know, maybe this is among the women. Among the men, he told them Abuha. He didn't say Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, the father of Aisha. Still it's revolving around Aisha radiallahu anha. So this was the, you know, the reality of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are very much foreign to that in this day and time. And so he used to express that sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he said, do things that will make your wife, you know, recognize that you love her. Such as putting, you know, feeding her. You know, while you're eating, you put the, you know, the bite or the food, the morsel of food in her mouth. In a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, whatever money you spend, then it is sadaqah. Even the bite, the morsel which you place in your wife's mouth. So this is from means of affection. If you want to speak about romanticism, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the most romantic man. Not these wicked people you see on TV. I hope you don't see them on TV. But if you've ever seen them on TV, the way they express romance is in a very un-Islamic way. Islam maintains adab and character and morality in the romanticism, which is something that is encouraged between a husband and a wife. Strictly between a husband and a wife. For the youngsters, there's no girlfriend. Okay, and if you have a girlfriend you met somewhere on Facebook, you better terminate the relationship today, right now in the masjid. Go delete her from your list of friends, and you can no longer communicate with her and be romantic with a girlfriend. You are either married or you are single, and there's nothing in between. Kafish, we understand, for the youngsters, because some of them are a little overexcited with women, and this is a big haram. If you want to go to Jahannam, that's one way to go to Jahannam. I'm sure you don't want to go to Jahannam, that's why you're here for the khutbah translation. Tayyib, so the Shaykh went on to say that we need to express our love and gratitude and appreciations to our wives, and we should instill this in our hearts so that our children will learn this character from us at home. Then the Shaykh went on to say, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whosoever does not thank the people has not thanked Allah. If you don't thank the people, you have not thanked Allah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever does a favor to you, if you say to the doer, Jazakallahu khayra, then you have showed exaggeration in appreciation. Very important note. There is no such thing as Jazakallah. Very common. Jazakallah, brother. Jazakallah may be a dua against a person. Because Allah said in Surah Al-Naba, for example, when He spoke about the people of Jahannam, Jaza'an wifaqa. He spoke about them entering Jahannam is a jaza', an equal recompense. In an authentic narration about the man who dies, and he's in his grave, and his evil deeds will come to him in the form of an abhorrent looking man, and he will tell him, Man ant? يقول له أنا عملك السيء. I am your evil deed. Then the man will tell him, جزاك الله شرا. May Allah reward you with evil. So when you want to show gratitude, you should not say جزاك الله and stop. Because first it goes against the sunnah. Second, it's still waiting for something. You know, you have not mentioned the khair, the good. May Allah reward you with goodness, because it may be may Allah reward you with evil. Because Jazakallah is incomplete. Okay? So from now on, either Jazakallah khayran or nothing. Jazakallah on its own is insufficient. Tayyib. He said you have exaggerated in appreciation. And this is better than thank you and otherwise. You may say thank you, but the best way to show thankfulness is by saying to someone, Jazakallah khayran. Tayyib. The Shaykh then enumerated a number of things. First, he said, Ibn Qayyim said that thankfulness is something that you say with the tongue after it is instilled in the heart, and then your limbs act accordingly. The Shaykh said, thank you to all, to the wife who obeys her husband and, you know, does what is expected of her, which is a very difficult to find currency today in our lives. You can hardly find this kind of woman now. It's like scarce. It's almost unavailable. A woman who actually is on the straight path. Allah al-Musta'an. He said, thank you to the wife who always makes herself clean, she beautifies herself, and she adorns herself for her husband in his house, not outside. Thank you for the wife who raises her children upon correctness and righteousness and good character, and she does not leave them for the maids to raise them. Rather, she takes responsibility over them. Thank you to the wife who is content with the sustenance which they have been given. She doesn't want more than her husband can afford. Thank you for the wife who arranges the affairs of her house and she leads it with wisdom and good conduct. Thank you for the wife who maintains the best character and does not say anything which is unacceptable, foul language, and she does not hurt her husband's feelings with her statements. And thank you for the wife who protects herself and the wealth of her husband while he is absent, and she keeps the marital secrets. And thank you for the wife who always makes her husband feel that she loves him, and she finds honor in being his wife, even if she goes beyond truth, even if she exaggerates what she really feels. This is allowed in Islam. And thank you for the wife who shows gratefulness to her husband for the goodness that he has towards her, which will create between them further love and affection. And thank you to the wife that helps her husband in being dutiful to his parents. Not the one who says, don't talk to your mother anymore, it's either me or your mother, right? This is amazing how a woman can do this, try to cut her husband away from his parents. This is unacceptable in Islam. Don't talk to your brother, I don't like him. I don't like, you know, whoever she doesn't like, he's expected to, you know, cut him off his life. This is haram. He must keep his kinship ties. And the woman who learns how to deal with them is what is expected, is the good woman. Not the one who tells her husband to stop communicating with his family members. And thank you to the wife who knows how to treat the family of her husband, and she shows respect to them and love and compassion. Of course, those who can be with her company, the maharim. And thank you to the wife who her husband is pleased with her, so she strives and she makes the necessary effort until she gets his pleasure. Then the hadith which the young man asked about, the Prophet ﷺ gave her glad tidings of Jannah. أَيُّمَ امْرَأَ Any woman who dies while her husband is pleased with her shall enter Jannah. InshaAllah ta'ala, mashaAllah. And then all gratefulness and gratitude and respect is due to our wives who are, you know, like they are in the state of jihad at home, and they are striving in the success of our houses and the success of our children, and those who are patient against time. May Allah Azza wa Jal make our wives and our children blessed. And from this place, I would like to give a special dedication and gratitude to my wife, because I think I'm guilty of many of these things, as many of us may be. And so forgive me for my nonsensical behavior often. And she, you know, Allah knows that I appreciate, but I'm very bad in expressing myself, except when I'm doing khutbah translation. This is where my tongue runs. Otherwise, you know, we appreciate, everyone appreciates his wife, inshallah, the same way I appreciate my wife. And may Allah help us, you know, help them get to Jannah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. لا لا خلاص هذه الأسبوع الجاي إن شاء الله هذه بارك الله فيك